Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Andy. I needed to let you know that we are coming down to the wire on RebateJet.com. What's RebateJet? It's a platform I created for you guys, the small to medium-sized sellers trying to compete against those big brands with those big budgets. Go now to RebateJet.com, sign up for that free seller account before it goes away this month. Now, why do you want to be a part of RebateJet? Just a few things. You can list promo codes for free. You can offer 3 rebates free per day. You can list your products and sell them directly to our customers on our website. We even have a free liquidation marketplace for you to unload products that didn't work out. We also have something else crazy in the works. You guys are going to love it. Go now, RebateJet.com. Now onto the show.
Welcome to the Seller Roundtable e-commerce coaching and business strategies with Andy Arnott and Amy Wiese.
So let's talk about how to sell physical products on Facebook, right? Because oh my gosh, so many people come to me on coaching calls and they'll just be like, so I just need to run Facebook ads, right? Okay. And not every product is perfect for Facebook, right? I'm sure you can get creative with some and get people to leave their Facebook feed and go buy from you. But let's talk about that. Like, what are some strategies for actually selling physical products on Facebook?
Yeah, so if you want to sell physical products on Facebook, obviously, ideally, you want to sort of set up a store that you can sort of sell the product on. And I think when people are making a store you want to sell on Facebook, is really think about your product pages as a place where people can go and really learn about your product and know everything about your product. Some things that we see people is, it really depends on what stage your business in too. Like, a lot of people get inspiration from like these VC funded companies that have like these clean, beautiful landing pages. And then they're like, oh, that's how my website's going to be like. But I'm like, okay, like they also got like $10 million in their war chest. So they care if their CPA is like $200, where you can't afford that. So I always tell people, look at your Amazon page and see how optimized that page is for sales and transfer that page content and that look, that style to your own website. Amazon has so much stuff on it, like images, videos, reviews, stars, guarantees. Like, and I tell people like, look at Amazon.com, like the platform that you know, everybody knows, and they still mention like free shipping, free guarantees. Like, why do you think your brand that no one knows about, that's never heard about you, doesn't need that? And that's how people are like, oh yeah, that makes sense. I'm like, yes, like give people these guarantees, give people reviews. Like, why would I come from like Kevin.com when I've never heard about this store? And Amazon.com, the biggest company in the world, still has this stuff. So I just say like, just think about the customer from a customer point of view. Like, how can you guarantee that they're going to make the best decision? So number one is have a great product page with images, video, reviews, testimonials, all that stuff that you're going to do. And then just make your checkout really, really tight and like security badges and seals. I think you need that really well. And then I think the number one thing that, another thing that I think people need to sort of sell online is great images, of course. Like if you have Amazon images, you can use those. But I think the most important thing is going to be like great copywriting on that product page. Why should people buy your product? Similar to like a creative for an ad. You can't just say, hey, look, buy my t-shirt, right? You need to say like, okay, what's your t-shirt made out of? What's the benefits? How is it going to be helpful for a user? So I think that's super important, where what I'm seeing right now is people have like 2-sentence descriptions of like their stuff. I'm like, no, like, why isn't like, you can, like, I tell people, if your website, you control it more than you control your Amazon page. So add more stuff, add more images, add more graphs, anything that you can make a prospect convert. So that's sort of where I think where you would start is a really good product page where you can come in and be like, okay, I trust this. Let me try the product.
Now, do you think there is, I mean, an issue with trust? So would you recommend when they're first trying to really make conversions that they run those ads to their Amazon page, or would you recommend their own website?
I would still do your own website, just because that will actually show you if people are going to buy the product and convert on your store. And if you're not getting conversions, obviously that's always the problem. Okay, what is it? Is it my store? Is it my ads? Or is it targeting? So it's like you're in this loop of what is it? But I think it's, if you have a store and you're first starting out, is I think it's always really helpful to have like some sort of customer support number or some sort of like online chat that customers can potentially ask questions, and that will give you some insights into what they're thinking or why they're not buying. So that's another way to like debug it. But also going back to kind of what we were saying before is adding stuff like Hotjar, which allows you to sort of track your users throughout your website. That also gives you insights into maybe why they're not converting, right? So sometimes you'll see like, okay, they're going to a returns page. Maybe they're skeptical about shipping. So maybe you should now add that content to your, to your, to your, to your product page. That way they don't have to go. I always tell people, like, the number one, like, if you look at any product online, like, what's the most searched term on Google is probably like product name reviews. That means they weren't convinced that first time. So they're looking for validation. So you want to make sure that they're validated that first time they come to your page. That means reviews, quotes, like, so anybody's endorsed your product, put it on there. Like, don't make them go hunt for it. Making them go hunt for it just means you're going to lose money that first time. And then, of course, as like anybody knows that sells product online, they're going to go for coupons, right? Blah, 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 coupons, right? So then, like, you're just constantly like in this loop of losing money because people are going out. So if you have a coupon, just put it out there. You know, people are going to search for it. So like, why are you going to make them go to like another site?
Yeah. So, and then in terms of actually selling those physical products, like getting somebody to actually click your ad, because I see so much clutter on Facebook when it comes to physical product ads.
Yep.
And I don't want to leave Facebook to go to somebody's website for some widget that I don't care about. Right. So in terms of actually getting them to click, we know once they click, we got to have something good. Otherwise we're going to spend money on clicks that don't convert. But what do we do on Facebook to get them to click? How do we get them to come to our website and visit our product page?
And I think, so for that, I think you really want to go with what we see work really well still to get someone to click is a testimonial ad of someone talking about your product or just like opening unboxing videos. Those work really well to show that like, hey, this is actually a real thing. I think just like, if you have a product, just like, maybe you, your friend or somebody, just have them open it and you record it and then show that with a testimonial, like, hey, I got this in like 2-3 days. It helps me with like clear my skin, for example. Those work really well to sort of pique curiosity and then make them click on your product. Sort of see, okay, cool. Like at least I can say that, you know, this was actually delivered. So it goes to the skepticism of like, people are scared to like buy products and like saying, hey, am I ever going to get it? Right. So
yeah. Versus all like the drop shipping video ads. I think too many of us have fallen for one of those and got a crap product. And, you know, so now we see this cool video on Facebook showing this product, but it's not personal. And if it's not personal, if it's just somebody, you know, if it's just like, you know, somebody playing with a cat with this cat toy and you're like, I'm not buying that, man. I'm not doing that again. I'm not. Yeah, yeah. And then the free shipping, it's like, who falls for just pay shipping. Like that one, nobody falls for that crap anymore. It's like,
everybody knows what you're trying to do with that. Just pay shipping or like free. And then it's like, oh wait, it's actually like $10 to ship it. Yeah. Something like that.
So I love that, you know, bring some personality to it. Show them that, you know, you're a real person and, you know, you have that.
Show something that's real, that like the product looks real. Don't just like, I tell people like static images work well. Yes. But like, if you can just talk about it and like, when you talk about it, I just say like, your founder or you, someone in the company, just like mention the problem. Like, hey, do you have dry skin? Well, here, like, my name is Kevin. I found the solution, and maybe go into like a 2-second backstory about why, like growing up, I had a lot of acne growing up. So this led me to discover this thing. Let me show you what it is now. So it's like, people need to think about it like a movie, but it's very short, like 30-second movie. Yeah.
Yeah. And in those videos, how important is it to have the text at the bottom of the video?
Oh yeah. I tell people you need to have that text, like either hard coded in or like transcribed on Facebook, because a lot of people are just like scrolling without like turning on the audio. And like, and it's not just because people turn it off. It's because sometimes I just don't want to listen to it. Like, I'm just like, oh, I don't want to listen to stuff today. And but the stuff is still interesting. So you'll still want to see what it says. And it's not because people will tell you like, oh, like I never listen to stuff on Facebook. I'm like, I do both. Like sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. It kind of depends on the mood. Right. So.
And what about landing pages? So, you know, when you're selling a physical product or service, whatever, on Facebook, and you've got this ad and you're going to a product page, are you using landing pages in between there? And what are some good strategies for those?
Yeah, I think people should be using landing pages. So we're working with like an outdoor gear company, and basically depending on your audience, that you're selling to, I think you should have a great landing page that just pretty pre-sells them about like, and this goes back to sort of like storytelling or basically saying like, what is your unique problem, or sort of like, what does your product solve that's unique, and how does it solve it in a different way? And then sort of like really making sure your messaging resonates with their persona that you're advertising on Facebook, right? So you can sell a product on Facebook, for example, on like a Shopify store, but usually the description is pretty generic. right? But with a landing page, you can say like, hey, look, with this product, it's really for like, you know, 50 plus, if you have like joint pain, health issues, that sort of language is going to be very different than, for example, this company, Trekking Poles. When we sell like the Trekking Poles for like a 50 plus audience, we talk about joint pain, walking longer. But when we sell to a younger audience, we talk about, hey, going hiking with your friends, exploring the territories. It's a very different type, but the product still solves two different issues. But that's why a landing page beforehand really helps sort of pre-frame them, saying, hey, I'm making the right decision now and go buy. So a lot of times when we talk to business owners, like they want to do for everything, which is great. Your product can be for everything, but like in that everything, what are the pockets that we can make landing pages or content that just describes that person?
So you're like warming up that audience, increasing that trust even more, like, oh, okay, I do want to learn more about that. Yep. And then they get there and they read more about it and they're like, oh wow. Yeah. I would like less joint pain when yep. I'm out walking. Yeah, I think this is the right decision. And then you're taking exactly. them right to the checkout page.
Exactly.
So you don't have to worry about them shopping around the site or anything like that.
Yeah.
Or...
Exactly. And the thing is like, everybody wants people to like shop around, but like that's just distraction. Just make them go through the process and then through your email marketing, through your retargeting campaigns, show them more product. Saying, right. oh, by the way, did you know we also had this? By that time, they've already purchased that first product because you don't want them to like potentially buy more things. Or if they do, it's great. But that's your first point should be just to get that customer through like that 1, 2, 3. Okay, now let me go and try to sell you more stuff. So,
and is there a particular landing page software that you like to use?
So at least here we use Unbounce a lot, but Unbounce is great. But like, obviously if you're doing like funnel stuff, ClickFunnels is also great too. But yeah, it's like, depending on what you're doing. So usually kind of what we're doing right now is like, let's say we're building these funnels, we're testing them out and seeing what's working. What we usually do after is just convert those funnels into like HTML pages. That way they load fast. That way it's like no, like Unbounce and like ClickFunnels, they all have like a bunch of software that just loads behind the scenes. But once we know it's working, we just convert to static pages and then that helps with the load time. And then now we're just driving traffic.
Got it.
Awesome. Excuse me. I should have done that before I unmuted, right? Kevin, what's working in terms of ad formats? So, in terms of your clients, are you seeing the best results with like video, image, long form, kind of what I know for a while there, it was like, people were just being like, you know, natural looking like selfies, like, bing, look at me, like making it look natural. But everybody's doing that now. So that's kind of getting washed out too. Like what are you seeing that's working really well?
What's working really well now is videos, of course, is always doing really well. Like the one by one, like the square videos, but what we're seeing work really well now is still like the vertical ads, like for like Instagram stories, Facebook stories. Those vertical ones are working really well. And then going back to what we were talking about before, what's also working really well is like just having captions and text overlays on top of things when like you're sort of like trying to explain something or a problem so people can see like visually and also text-wise see it as well. So we'll see those work really well. But going back on like, let's say for remarketing, it's those natural looking videos that look like someone just kind of open up their phone and like a potato camera was like attacked them. And it's like, oh, like what's this blurry grainy video? Like, it's like, oh, why is it so blurry? We actually see those work really well. Another thing that actually works really well, it's kind of funny. And is when you like purposely misspell something, cause then people will comment and hey, that's spelled wrong. And then like that will get your engagement up on Facebook. So then you're getting more comments and more likes and that just boosts you in the algorithm. So we've done it like not on purpose, but now we're just like, oh, it actually works really well when you do it on purpose too, because like, it's pretty funny actually. Like you do it on purpose, be like, oh my God, spelled wrong. How could you do that? But that just means that like other people will boost your
thing. Yeah, I've seen that. The other thing that I've noticed that worked really well is a couple of years ago, for one of our Amazon related SaaSes, we had actually found cups. They were, I forget who the company was, but they were cups, but the cups looked like, and I'm sorry, but this is episode 69, so it actually relates perfectly. The cups looked like penis heads, like when they're filled with liquid. And we ended up using them as an ad. And we got we were getting conversions for like 5 cents because it got so much organic, natural, like just with the little boost of the ads, we were getting so much natural engagement because people being like, oh my God, that looks like,
Yeah.
So we'd be like, I don't see it. And then like, it was just like these crazy comments. And, you know, that is a good tip to use is like, if you see, like what I love to do is just like scroll through social media. When I scroll through social media now, I ignore most of the content. I actually look at ads mostly because I don't want to look at politics. Yeah, I don't want to look at COVID. I don't like whatever. You're not going to change my mind. I'm not going to change yours. That's kind of where I'm at right now, you know? So I just scroll through all that stuff, but I love to look at like ads or things that like I see a ton of comments for. And then I'll look and see like, why are people interacting with this? And then, yeah, a lot of times it's negative, but you know, the old saying that like any news is good news or whatever, you know, it's like, if you can get like, even if it's a negative in terms of, you know, on your brand, like it might get seen by so many people and a lot of those people might have a negative effect, but a lot of them might not. So it's super fun to just test those kinds of ideas. The other thing people want to go check out is the Facebook ad library. That's where I also get a ton of great ideas. I think it's facebook.com/ad/library. And you can type in a keyword or, you know, a brand or anything like that, see what they've been running, see how long it's been running for. You get a ton of great ideas that way. So anyway, back to Amazon. Do you have any, do you do any link building? Like, so a lot of people don't know about this and a lot of people don't utilize it, but you can actually build backlinks to Amazon products in terms of, you know, around the internet that, which will give your Amazon page some organic SEO juice on Google. Do you do any of that for your products or your clients?
Yeah. So we do it for our stuff because exactly what you're saying, we use. Yeah.
Very few people do. That's why it's kind of a secret.
Yeah. And the reason why it works is like, it's like Amazon's such a high domain authority that you can literally build a few links and like pops, we call it like pops up in the SERPs.
Totally.
We use, when I was doing it, we used to use like GSA. I'm not sure if you're like,
The automation. Yeah. That's not working as well anymore. And there was what's the other one? GSA. And then there was also,
some other Russian one.
Yeah. But no, I've used literally like any type of marketing automation tool I've probably used because I love that. I love not having to hire a VA and still blast out as much stuff as possible.
Blast out all these links. Yeah. I'm like, okay, give me all these article links.
Exactly. And it's like, yep.
But yeah, I mean like, and the reason why, I mean like when I was doing it, it worked really well just because like Amazon.com is never going to get penalized because it's just like such a high domain authority and it just works. It just like wants links. But that's the way we've done it before, but that's another great way to sort of do it. And it's also, works great for like, just like search engine. It's like what's it called? Where like you can control like the top results for your stuff because you're purposely, reputation management of like your search.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, excuse me.
So yeah, stuff like that. Yeah. That, so awesome. I've done it like that. Yeah. And it definitely works. And I tell people you should do it. Like,
it's funny how little people are few people are doing it. I mean, some of the big brands have figured it out, but you know, there's not a ton of people.
And also like another thing too, it's like, let's say you like kind of what we're talking about before with coupons or reviews. I tell everybody you should have a slash reviews page or a slash coupons page because your domain is going to rank higher than like all third party sites. So it's like Kevin's Coupons. That's probably going to rank higher than like, you know, whatever, honey.com or one of those other things.
So, yeah, totally.
So instead of like giving them credit, and then obviously the other thing too is like now the attribution isn't messed up. So then now it's like single domain attribution.
Yep, absolutely. On that same note, you know, this is a little more advanced stuff, but in terms of like customer journey, so like for my, you know, I love to use my wife's ads as an example because that's where I'm really digging in on Facebook right now. But like, so I have like when they go through the journey of her funnel, right? Like the first thing I don't count as a conversion, like because we're just getting the basic info. Then the next one, you know, it's a little bit more like the email, and then the last one is like the phone number. But I won't count that as a conversion unless we get the phone number, right? Because that's like the strongest lead. That's how we can actually like get people. So can you kind of explain, you know, how to use the customer journey to in e-commerce to get kind of a better idea of what, you know, what people can get, or how people can increase their conversions by actually tracking that journey?
Yeah. So yeah, it's a great question. So basically the way you want to think about it is like with Facebook Pixel is Facebook has like these standard events, they're called, where it'll track some sort of action that you have. And if you have if you're on their dashboard on Facebook, you can actually see all these conversions happening in real time when you're driving traffic. So when you have your homepage, it's like a page view, but then when you go into like a product page, it's now called view content. View content just basically means, hey, they viewed the product. So now if they view the product and it sort of resonates with them, most likely most people have like an add to cart. So then they click on that and that goes to your add to cart page, which is usually like a slash cart. So on this page, then that will lead to like a checkout page, which is like now called like initiate checkout, meaning, okay, something started happening here. And then once they type in the information, then it'll go to like usually like a thank you page. So that's like the whole sort of journey that you can see through Facebook. And ideally for anybody doing this, you want to be tracking this. And this can mean many different things for whatever you're doing, but this is how it works for e-commerce. So kind of what you'll notice is obviously like you'll drive 1,000 people and then, you know, maybe 10 will buy. So that means you have like a 10% conversion rate. So then in between there, between the view content, add to cart, initiate checkout, people dropped off. So then as someone like an e-commerce store owner, that's why I really like using something like Hotjar, where you can actually see where they're dropping off and what's causing the drop off, right? So if your drop off is that you have 1,000 view contents and no add to carts, that means you're either probably your add to cart's broken. So you should probably check that out, because someone at least is going to try to see what's going to happen when they add to cart, because sometimes people are just curious, like, oh, let me see what happens. Like,
right.
Even though like you've added 20,000 things in your cart every day, but,
yep.
But yeah, so like you can use this as a way to sort of gauge it. And then I like using just Hotjar and sort of seeing how you can improve those metrics over time. Like if your view content is high, but then no one's in the cart, okay, maybe change your images, maybe add some reviews, maybe change your product description. And then once your e-commerce, typically what we're seeing is anywhere between like 2-3% if it's like a standard website for just e-commerce. And then you sort of go to the add to cart page. And this is like an optional page. Sometimes people have this, sometimes people don't. I kind of like to remove it just because it's adding an extra step for no reason. It's just like, hey, like, here's what's in your cart. I'm like, do I really want to see it? I know what I added. Like,
yeah, absolutely. I mean, just look at Amazon, right? Like they had the pioneers of the one click buy, right? Like the less friction, the better. It's just like for websites, right? Like if you're trying to get a lead, you know, it's so funny. I'll go to a website and they're like, what's your name? What's your address? Yeah. What's your phone? Like, no, dude, you have an email address and you hit enter. Yeah. And then if you want more on the second page of the form, you prompt them for more stuff. But yeah, you want less friction, right? The least amount of friction possible to either get the customer or get that data. And you made a great point there. I mean, one of the things, you know, that you guys can test on your own website, which a lot of people don't think of, is, you know, normally people on their own website will charge shipping, right? Yep. But a tactic to try is to raise the price on your website, right? So instead, like if you're selling on Amazon $14.99, sell it on your own website for $19.99, but then offer free shipping, right? Test that, because shipping is one of the biggest things that deter people from buying your product, right? So if you're offering that free shipping as well, but you raise the price a little bit, that's a great tactic, along with having a button to Amazon from that product. Like, oh, you don't want to buy on from our website? Here's the link to buy this product on Amazon. You know, you trust Amazon. So you're getting a sale either way, but you're getting a pixel them. You might, you know, capture their email address. If they're going to Amazon, you can give them a coupon. There's so many cool things that you can do, on your own website in conjunction with Amazon.
Yeah. And like what we like to do with like, similar to like that Amazon tactic that you just mentioned, usually what we like to say is like, if we know like they're exiting the page, like an exit pop-up, we'll say, hey, actually you can buy it on Amazon.
And right.
Then take right, that right, right. directly.
Yeah, absolutely. Cause you want to give them every chance. Like if they, cause trust, right? Trust is like you were saying with the security badges and all that. Like if people haven't heard of your brand, that's why small brands have such a hard time selling on their own website, right? Is cause they're not, they don't have that intrinsic trust built in. But if you offer it, like you said, as an afterthought, or even as an email, right? If you capture their email and they don't buy, you can say, hey, you know, you can send fire an email like 10 seconds after they get the email. It says, hey, I'm super stoked you checked out this product. You know, we also sell on Amazon. Here's the link directly to that product. Here's 30% mm-hmm. off. You know, you can automate all that stuff. So there's so many cool things you can do there.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, exactly. Because at a certain point, you're just eventually just want to get that sale.
Exactly. Like utilize that, squeeze that data as much as possible. All right, Kevin. So this is a very interesting question. Outside of Facebook, what's your favorite social network? You know, I know you're mentioning TikTok. Yeah. Are you doing some dances out there on TikTok?
No, I definitely can't dance at all. I'm not dance gifted at all. But I guess the other platform that we like to really still use is still Snapchat, a really great platform. I still talk to some friends on it too. But even then, ad-wise, I like it because like, you can still do a little more gray stuff like CBD and all these other products. Yeah. So.
Right. Yeah. That's cool. LinkedIn is my biggest, my new kind LinkedIn, of, yeah. LinkedIn. It's, I keep telling people it's so, like I just got reached out. I just got somebody reaching out to me to go to possibly be on like an CBS CNBC TV show, like, you know, the executive producer, like not even an underling. So like there's some really great opportunities on LinkedIn, people. Like, get involved there because you were able to interact with people. I mean, like Barbara Corcoran, like I had some, you know, chats with her. Like, there's, you can reach out to people on LinkedIn that you can't get anywhere else because people are in a business mindset. And not only that, but it's a little irritating, but on LinkedIn, you'll get a ton of like messages of people selling you stuff, right? But it's kind [S2] Yeah. [S1] Of accepted. So it's actually a really good way also to lead gen and to connect with people. So that's my favorite network. Amy, it's to you. What is your favorite? You can't pick the ones that have already been picked. I think I know what you're going to guess, or you're going to say. I have a guess.
Well, my favorite social network Facebook?
Outside of, no, not, you can't do Facebook. You can't do Snapchat and you can't do LinkedIn.
Okay. They're already chosen.
Reddit's an interesting one.
I have connected with so many awesome business owners. I have so much amazing software that, you know, I was able to be part of beta programs for. Great business owners having awesome conversations. I love Reddit.
So you're the only female user over the age of 18 on, like, you're like the Reddit demographic is like 80% like men, you know, men under 20, right? And trolls.
Yep.
Well, I mean, I definitely think there's a lot of you know, business professionals.
No, it's evolving
on Reddit. Well, I mean, the way I found out about Reddit was being in the cyber field, right? As I was working in cyber, okay. And everybody was on Reddit. So anyone who's developing something, building something, they were on Reddit, right? Most of the time they were on Reddit to mess around and to make jokes and all of that kind of stuff. But it's really, I've gotten so many great connections off of Reddit. And and I've learned so much, shared business ideas, startup stories, all kinds of cool stuff. So yeah, I really like Reddit.
Yeah, that's given me a good idea for an infographic, right? For like the like memes for each social network. I've got a good idea in my head now.
Yeah.
All right, Kevin, we're going to wrap up here. We always like to ask this question because we, you know, it's Amy and I and probably a lot of people listening here are always like listening to books, reading books, watching YouTube videos, you know, just consuming as much content as possible to get to that next level. Any favorite podcasts, motivational books, you know, Audible, like anything that you're listening to, consuming right now that you want to share that you feel like has had a big impact on you?
I'd like, what's that, David Goggins? Do you guys know him?
No. See, that's why we asked.
Okay. So he's like an ultra marathon runner and like ultra cyclist, motivational speaker, retired Navy SEALs. He has this book called like Can't Hurt Me. And it's probably like one of my most favorite books I've read, like just super motivational, super like pretty much saying like, hey, if you're complaining about life, it's probably your own fault. Like,
right. Yeah, right. So no, that's like, awesome. Cool. Yeah. So yeah, now I get to add that to my list.
Yeah. Yippee. I love that book. Yeah.
Awesome. Hey, Kevin, tell people where they can get a hold of you, you know, in terms of, you know, if you want them to reach out on social, oh, your website, yep, your email, whatever you want to give out.
Yeah, so you can just come to voymedia.com. That's voymedia.com, or just Kevin at voymedia. But I'm also on LinkedIn. I use, like you said, I also use LinkedIn a lot. But yeah, best place to reach me. So yeah, voymedia.com. Yep.
Awesome. All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for joining us. Everybody who jumped in live, thank you guys so much. We really love when you guys are live and asking questions. Really appreciate that, guys. We are doing this every Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific time. If you want to join us live, that is the place. If you haven't yet already, rate, review, subscribe to the podcast. Thank you guys so much for doing that. We're growing every single month. Amy, I think we're going to break like 25,000 downloads this month, nice, which is pretty epic. You know, we've been doing every month, it's going up. So that's what I like to see. We haven't got the hockey puck yet, you know, but you know, Kevin, you're an SEO guy. Go back and listen. We got Neil Patel. That was a big win. We were pretty happy that we got Neil. We got Mike Michalowicz. If you haven't,
Neil Patel is huge. Yeah. Crazy how you guys got him. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I actually met him down in LA at one of his events. So I was like, hey, dude. It's hard to say no in person, right? So I kind of ambushed him. Like, come on, you want to be on the? He's like, all right, yeah, I'll do it. That was the secret. But you know, you don't ask if you don't get, or you don't get if you don't ask. I said that backwards. So That's a big lesson, guys. Ask for what you need. And there's so many people out there, especially who are who have leveled up, who are leveling up, who want to really pay it forward and help. So don't ever be afraid to ask, because people are out there to help, especially nowadays. I feel like more and more people are like, I'm sitting at home, I'm bored. I need help. I'm never bored, but I know some of you there are.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Thank you so much. We'll see you next time on the Seller Roundtable.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for tuning in. Join us every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time for live Q&A and bonus content after the recording at sellerroundtable.com. Sponsored by the ultimate software tool for Amazon sales and growth, sellerseo.com, and amazingathome.com.